have protection for people.
So Robert, you think that the money-hungry Santa Cruz people here would actually risk having some homeless visible?
Well, I think the politicians are afraid of just what you're talking about.
And that was, an anonymous individual who I spoke to this morning at Denny's, talking, a musician on the mall, talking about his experience with the people who are systematically going out and beating up, or trying to beat up, homeless people. Put a couple of them in the hospital, more than a couple, it sounds like four or five, if we're talking about Joe Barker and Frank Cessna, and then other people who don't want to go to the police about it, but have talked to us kind of on the QT. But on the line with us now, before I get on to that, let me just suggest that those of you who think that they're shocked by this and want to do something about it, I suggest you immediately call City Council at 420-5020. Maybe that's the number. Or is it 5030? I'm never sure. It's one of the two. It's 5020 or 5030. Give a try to both those numbers. One's the city clerk's, one's the city council. And demand that immediate action be taken to secure a safe zone for homeless people. And you can also give a call to 423-HUFF if you want more information or you want to help get together to form some sort of peacekeeping group around this issue. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. And on the line with us now, we have Willow Simmons. Hi, Willow.
Hi.
And Willow, of course, was one of the Santa Cruz 11 who were arrested at the, it's the county building on the third floor on Friday. What was that all about, Willow?
Well, actually, I wasn't arrested. I left before. That was...
Whoops.
That was not correct. Yeah, I was not one of the 11.
But you were present when those arrests happened?
No, I was there before.
Aha, so you were in the office throughout the afternoon?
Yeah, I left before that happened, because I had to get back to my family, but, unfortunately, I can't talk about the arrest.
Well, you went down to the office. What led you to spend time in the middle of the day at Sam Farr's office?
Well, I'm more than concerned about this war, and of course, this war is just a large version of many wars that go on both right here in the streets of Santa Cruz that you were just talking about with this gentleman that you interviewed, and the wars that happen everywhere because of a result of this thing that Bush called the New World Order, which is, it's this enormous virus, if you will, that's corporate, that's globalized, it has to do with privatization and with the taking away of sovereignty of nations around the world, and what we used to call just imperialism and colonialism, and now it's taken on a more difficult to figure out aspect, and it's also hard to understand, I think, what's going on, because mainstream media, which is controlled by, I think the last I heard was 10 corporations control 50% of the media, and that's not just TV, that's radio, publishing companies, movies, everything that we refer to as the media,
mm-hmm.
that I think most folks don't understand that the 50% that we're talking about is the mainstream media, and the other 50% is what we call independent journalism and Pacifica Radio and those kinds of things. So most people...
Are you going to be coming back to Farr's office, do you think?
I'm going to try to make it on Wednesday.
Okay, we have this, for those of you who just tuned in late, there is a protest on Wednesday at Representative Farr's office in the county building at 701 Ocean Street on the third floor at 1 o'clock, and we are expecting Sam Farr to answer 10 questions and also to set up a town meeting with all of the community around the issue of the bombing of Yugoslavia, just tearing apart babies now, apparently, and that's apparently been admitted by NATO this morning, that the bombing of, I guess it was a refugee camp near Corisa, resulted in, 89 deaths, I think is the latest toll. Don't know how many more wounded, including infants and babies, and lots of people who are innocent civilians. So
it's really important that the public begin to understand from our leaders, because I think that the general public, I mean, there's some of us who run around and read all this stuff all the time and are waving arms around like Cassandra saying, you know, the Greeks are coming, the Greeks are coming, but that the general public needs to have somebody like Sam Farr, who they respect as one of their leaders, to say, here are some of the facts, because we're not getting the facts.
What I'm going to do now is I'm going to play some of the events in that office, and perhaps even your voice will appear on that tape. People who were speaking out to Sam Farr was, of course, not there, but his secretary was, and she was dutifully taking notes and reassuring us that Sam would be getting the information and that he's in the air. Otherwise, he would certainly talk to us. Why he can't be contacted by phone while he's in the air was not revealed, and, of course, made many people skeptical. But let's turn to that now, and let's thank you, Willow, for being with us on Free Radio.
Thank you.
Anything you want to conclude with, or are you pretty much...
I guess what I just want to say for anyone who's unclear about what's going on, not that any of us is clear, by the way, but that for anyone who feels really confused, like, why are we there? This doesn't make sense. My gosh, we said we were going to be helping people, to please look at some alternative possibilities. You can listen to KPFA for the evening news, or KZSC carries it also at from 6 to 7. On weekends to 6:30, you can read Nation Magazine, which is on sale at Bookshop Santa Cruz. You can read Dollars and Cents. You can read Z Magazine. These are just some.
Or you can listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Or you can listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz.
I want to thank you, Willow. We've been talking to Willow Simmons, and hope to see you on Wednesday, or if not, in the streets.
Definitely. Thank you, Robert.
Thanks a lot.
And now to Sam Farr's office on Friday, where you'll get a taste of the kind of conversations you're likely to hear if you come back on Wednesday to Farr's office up on the third floor of the county building. If you can't, or if you want to make an additional statement, you can also give a call to Farr's office at 429-1976. And if you want to help out in other ways, or get together with people who want to do something, you know, there's a wine and cheese festival downtown. If anyone's got an air raid siren, I suggest... it might be time to do an air drill, so the folks who are doing their wine and cheese and jazz can get a sense of what it's like over there in Yugoslavia while they continue sipping and daintily tasting the brie. But let's get some of the substantive issues, and a lot of those came up. Let's hear some of this tape from Farr's office.
If the state, if no one disagrees with the statement, then it's called a consensus point of view.
This is the voice
and
of Phil Bear.
Sally is going to write it down and communicate it as a point of view of the group to Mr. Farr. That's our format today. So, one small point, sir. Right now in Fort Ord, it's been closed out 5 years. There's 3,600 housing units that the federal government, the state government, the county government has not opened that housing up for anyone, no one. It's all boarded up. If they're going to declare war on Serbia, if they're going to declare war on homelessness and spend those $13 billion on homelessness, for people who are desperate. American citizens are desperate. They're dying on the streets, and they have nowhere to live, because the number one cost of living in the nation is the Bay Area. Here, we can't afford housing. Yet there is housing at Fort Ord, there's housing at the Presidio, there's housing at Alameda Naval Air Station, and the federal government is not using those billions to house low land, low income people that can afford housing. Why don't we spend the billions instead of blowing up that country back to the Stone Age and use that $13 billion to declare war on homelessness in our good old U.S. of A.
Is that acceptable to everyone?
Yeah.
Is
there an acceptable
question?
The bunch of us just came up from downstairs, and we have this NATO bomb here for Sam Farr, representing these missiles, many of which cost $1 million apiece, cruise missiles, Tomahawk missiles with depleted uranium ballasts. There's A-10s being used with depleted uranium ammunition that's used to destroy tanks. This is contaminating the former Yugoslavia with with radioactive material, is the whole area is going to be unlivable, just like southern Iraq is now, where there's levels of depleted uranium 35 times higher than background radiation, and next to tanks that have been killed by these A-10s, 50 times higher. This is unacceptable. It's well documented. More and more the corporate media is even talking about this. For years they weren't talking about it. We know the effects of this. It's caused childhood leukemia, birth defects, other problems for the people of southern Iraq. It's in the water. It's in the food. It's in the food chain. There's no way to get rid of it. And this bombing of Yugoslavia, the former Yugoslavia, of Serbia, and of the Kosovo people is killing those people. And we want an end to the bombing. We want an end to this war. And the U.S. has been involved in ethnic cleansing in the former Yugoslavia. They supported and continue to support the Tudjman regime in Croatia, which is an openly fascistic regime that sends praises to the Ustashi government, which was a government of Nazi occupation that killed tens of thousands of Serbs, Gypsies, and of communists and others who would stand up against the system in any way. The U.S. is supporting that government. That government now, in 1995, drove 250,000 Serbs out of Croatia and destroyed 1,500 towns and villages that were majority Serb. And that kind of ethnic cleansing has been supported, not only supported by the United States, funded by the United States. And the U.S. has to stop its support for ethnic cleansing in the former Yugoslavia, has to stop the bombing. No U.S., no U.N., no NATO troops. U.S. out of the former Yugoslavia now.
One very clear one was no depleted uranium. He's talking faster than you're writing on it. I don't know who was next over here.
I just want to clarify something. I'm not a stenographer, and if you have very long, complicated statements, you're more than welcome to leave them, but I can't be...
Word for word.
I certainly don't know how people have voted in this room, but my guess is that a lot of the people here are progressives who have voted for SAMFAR, but in fact, it's among the very people that have supported him and people like him that are being represented here. And that it's absolutely pathetic that some of the most conservative, even reactionary voices in Congress are the ones that are speaking out against this war, while people who supposedly are liberals and progressives like SAMFAR, not just him, but all over the country, throughout the Democratic Party, are really the warmongers in this whole situation. And that I think he needs to understand that there will be consequences for that politically. That people, no matter how he votes on domestic issues, no matter how liberal he may be on other things, that people are not going to forget this. At least as far as I'm concerned, it's the bottom line. And that he has to understand that there's consequences for this. When basically he betrays the very people that have put him in office.
Is there some kind of statement that we could make that if he continues to support this bombing, we as a group will not be voting for SAMFAR?
I've never voted for the Republican
Party. I'm the only one that's Democrat. There are a lot of people, myself included, who have voted for SAMFAR. If we say as a group that if he doesn't stand up against this bombing, we will not be voting for him in the future?
Yes.
I just want to say quickly, just in a couple of minutes, I want to say that this statement I find extremely hurtful, to say the least, because essentially he's talking about human rights concerns over in Kosovo. He's talking about ethnic cleansing, right? And ethnic cleansing, I mean, historically documented, substantiated by many, many books, many, many authors. This is the biggest ethnic cleanser in the whole history of the world, U.S. imperialism, U.S. ruling class. It's fact. I'll argue with anybody on the planet about this point.
so if Sam Farr is truly going to represent the will of the people, then he should be out organizing people to stop the bombing, not just making a statement. He should actually be giving resources, he should be making a statement and finding resources and using the resources to help people in this room and other people to help fuel the movement even further, because we all know that just our statements today aren't going to stop the war in Yugoslavia. But we all know we want the war stopped. So if Sam Farr is really going to represent us, he should be helping us out of that situation. But really, what I really want to say to the people here, not that was what I want to say to Sam Farr, what I said to the people here, is we should know by now that our so-called representatives aren't going to do what we want. So if we really want to see the world different, we all have to go out and make the world different. If we want to see the end of the war, we all got to go out and march in the streets in our thousands, upon thousands, upon thousands, and demand that this war machine not just stop what it's doing in Yugoslavia, but that it keep its bloody hands off the entire people of the world here at home and abroad.
Yeah. I just have a short, sweet remark, and this is directed towards Sam Farr, who I have supported, and I'm very, very reluctant to, as he was reluctant to go into this war, and reluctant to serve, to support Sam. And Sam, you make a remark here on this sort of ambiguous statement that the Rambouillet Accords offered Mr. Milosevic one last opportunity to stop the genocide in Kosovo and avoid international conflict. I wish that you would please go back and read the Rambouillet Accord, where you will notice that this was not an agreement, but it was a statement that would relinquish the sovereignty of Yugoslavia, not just the Serbian majority in this case, but this would be a relinquishment of the entire sovereignty of Yugoslavia. It, in those accords, it states, and I apologize, I don't have it in front of me, so I can't state the article, but Sam, you can find that quickly. I'm sure your aides all have it. And that is that basically NATO would occupy and have complete free reign and would be not susceptible to any local laws or any national laws and come and go as they please and would be
Number 8.
Sam, I would like you to please look at that and take a look at your statement that this is an agreement to stop genocide. It is not an agreement or an opportunity to stop genocide. It's an opportunity for NATO as the police force of certain interests in Europe and in the United States, but even more worldwide, the corporate interests to come in and occupy an entire country. And I think the common language for that, and this is not extreme, I think that this is just simply obvious, the common language for that since the beginning of empire is empire and is occupation by an empire. And let's be honest, because Sam, I know that you know that. I know that you know why we're there, and I will not play games with any officials anymore about please don't do this. We know that you know.
I just want to piggyback what Jim said. In case people don't know, tomorrow we are going to be out in the streets up in San Francisco at Powell and Market at 12 o'clock. March into the UN Plaza for a rally. So come up to San Francisco tomorrow.
We're going to do it here in this room.
And you're listening to some excerpts from a meeting in Sam Farr's office. He's the representative for this congressional district who supports the bombing from the skies every day more intense. Here's an incoming call.
Hi, you're on free radio. Oh, you know what? I just called, but I just realized that your show's almost over, so I should just get off the air. Okay, well, we'll talk to you next time. All right.
And that was one of the arrestees actually calling in, Jim Costner. There were 11 of us arrested. Actually, what happened after that, that conversation you heard in the last few minutes was happened around 1:30, 1:45, and the office was filled with people. There were 30, 35 people there throughout the day, I guess, with people cycling through, and ended up at about 60 people signing their concerns to Sam Farr, speaking their concerns, simply parking themselves in the office and not leaving. And there was, I think there was general, there was a general sense that people were going to leave at 5 o'clock and go to the town clock and do a march, but under the very impressive leadership of Peter Lumsdaine and supported by other people, Phil Baer, myself, others among them, the point was made not who wants to stay past 5 o'clock and risk arrest, but given the solidarity that we all have, who has to leave? And the number became much smaller of those who had to leave, and the number of those who in essence were saying, we're going to stay here until, it really should be, of course, until the bombing stops, but until we get some real action, we're going to make a stand here in Farr's office, we're not going to allow business as usual, close the office and go home, and then we can come back on Monday and go through a little charade again while they have killed dozens upon dozens, if not hundreds of people over the weekend with this endlessly escalated bombing every day. We decided to, the question was put, how many people need to leave? And there were only 6 or 7 out of the 30, 35 who were there. Now then, as the situation got tighter and the deputies came in and started kind of sternly saying, you will be arrested if you don't leave, and so forth and so on, people did begin to leave. And eventually only 11 of us were arrested, actually only 10 arrested because of the desire to be arrested. The 11th was Ed Fry, the attorney, who had been there, but, you know, had left. With apparently his point was he wanted to make sure there was a meeting with Farr, and he was going to come back on Wednesday, perhaps. And I'm not quite sure what all the specifics were, but he needed a meeting with Farr, he said, and that he hoped that this would produce it. And he simply wanted to observe people being arrested. Well, the deputy said, you can't observe, this building is closed, you have to leave, even though Ed Fry is an attorney and has access to this building after 5 o'clock. They simply arrested him for watching. Deputies also threatened to arrest a camerawoman, Becky Johnson, and threatened to impound her child and put her child in CPS, Child Protective Services, because of her filming activity. Deputies went in after myself, Jim Costner, and Peter Lumsdaine were arrested and said, the ringleaders are now arrested. The rest of you can go if you wish. But to their credit, there were 8 more or 7 more people who said, we're not going to leave. And there ended up being 11 people arrested. We were held in jail, actually in the van, the paddy wagon, in handcuffs for about 2 hours. And then we were what we called site released with trespass charges, punishable by up to 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine, with our arraignment date for June 8th, when we will go to court. But apparently the arrest had significant impact. KPFA spent 20 minutes in its news broadcast. I think a popular broadcaster wasn't Larry Bensky, it was Flashpoints. Whoever does Flashpoints up there actually carried news on the arrests in Santa Cruz and the protest in Representative Farr's office. Of course, it made the headlines in the Sentinel. It was probably worth it, even though it's going to tie some of us up in court. And I'm hoping that it'll be worth it again in greater numbers on Wednesday if people again make that decision. And that decision, of course, is something that can only be made on the spot at the time by those present. One doesn't, you know, I'm not suggesting a conspiracy to close down the county building. Well, that may well be a fine thing. There may be a decision to do that if there is insufficient response from those who are supposed to be our representatives in Congress. And that's going to be, again, 1 o'clock on Wednesday, County Building, 3rd floor, Representative Farr's office at 701 Ocean Street. If you want more information on this, you can either call 423-HUFF or 423-1448, which is the Coalition to End the Bombing in Yugoslavia. We're also having a meeting up on campus, 4 o'clock on Monday evening, at the Third World Liberation Lounge of the Student Center. And there's a meeting today at 2:30 of the Yugoslav Crisis Action Forum, the folks who put together the forum. And that's at 2:30 at Loudoun Nelson Center. So lots of things are happening. Of course, the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom at 5:15 at the town clock on Monday. We'll be out there with pickets. And we hope that some folks, as I say, will spread the word among the wine and cheese set who have closed off the avenue downtown to celebrate wine and cheese and tourism in Santa Cruz. And that's a fine thing. No problem with tourism. No problem with wine and cheese. But people need, when they're in these groups, to be informed of what's really going on, and we need to keep informing them in the most dramatic possible way. So I encourage you to think about that. I'm going to go out now because my next, my successor here, the little red hen, is basking in the sun, but pretty soon she'll be coming in to peck me and get me out of here. I'm going to kind of steal a march on her and get out of here myself, and invite you to rejoin us on Bathrop Spears Broadsides on Thursday at 6 o'clock when we'll return, 6 in the evening. If you have anything in terms of news stories or questions, phone numbers you want to get that you may have heard on the air but don't have but want, 423-HUFF, 423-4833, please join us again and call in, because that's what keeps the show rolling. Thanks for being with us.
Well, Americans are very friendly people, as countries right next door will recommend. We never mess with other countries' business, but if we do, we hope we'll still be friends. We care about the way you run your country, and we'd like to be supportive if we can. If someone's running out of ammunition, I'll be the first to lend a hand. Yeah, let's just have an extra war at the White House, so our president won't have so far to go. Let's have it in our own backyard the next time. Yeah, we'll host the show and bring the party home. Well, war is hell, we know, but still we love it. We love it, but it's all so far away. Let's cook it home next time instead of cater, in honor of the good old CIA. Yeah, let's just have the next war at the White House, so our president can really see the show. We won't have to wait and see if they invite us. No, we'll just roll the White House rocks and throw our own. For some of us, it's like we're the producer. We can't get that frontline thrill behind the scenes, and it's hard to catch the action from the paper. It's hard to know what John Wayne really means. Well, some folks don't appreciate our efforts. They don't know what it feels like to be free. But we're there in a flash if we smell trouble. But it's time to host a conflict in D.C. We'll have our world policemen fall right at the White House. Yeah, we'll have it in a language that we know. We'll barbecue our own backyard the next time. Yeah, we'll just host the show and bring the party. Host the show and bring the party. Host the show and bring the party home.